Good morning, everyone. Thank you for attending our today's briefing, our traditional briefing by Ambassador of Ukraine, Mr. Yuri Sergeyev. Today, we're going to present you the updates on the developments of the current security situation in our country. And I have the honor to give the floor to Ambassador of Ukraine, Mr. Sergeyev.
Good morning. Thank you for coming for this briefing. Today, I will brief you about latest developments in my country, and we will make a presentation prepared by our Secret Service for foreign diplomats and journalists accredited in Ukraine. It was publicly shown in Kyiv this Monday. I consider it is very important that UN Media Corp could also have an opportunity to see it and to make further conclusions. Our presentation is dedicated to Russia's direct engagement into fueling terrorism in Donbas region and has an aim to clearly and unambiguously show all of you the latest photo proofs and facts of Moscow's participation in destabilization of the situation in Ukraine. These facts are so obvious as they are so dangerous. Dangerous for Ukrainian, regional, and pan-European security. Despite all Russian government statements that this country has no relations with terrorists acting in the East, a huge number of evidences prove that Moscow keeps financing and supporting illegal armed groups that continue to terrorize local population and kill innocent civilians and Ukrainian soldiers. This massive Russian support is holding despite numerous appeals of members of international community and UN agencies to immediately stop this practice and to launch political dialogue in accordance with results of Geneva and Berlin negotiations. It is now obvious that Russian government does not respect undertaken obligations and ignores our common strong call to impact on armed groups and to end violence in the east of our country. Before we start, I would like to make some important introductory points. Since my last briefing in June, the security situation in eastern Ukraine under direct Russia coordination and connivance continues to deteriorate. Despite recent significant success of Ukrainian armed forces that liberated major cities, regional headquarters of terrorists such as the town of Slavyansk and Kramatorsk, terrorist gangs changed their tactics. It became crueler, more cynic, and more destructive. Since they were forced to move deeper in Lugansk and Donetsk, encircled by Ukrainian army, pro-Russian terrorists left after themselves, devastated, ruined towns and villages with completely destroyed infrastructure, robbed banks, ATMs, looted stores and supermarkets. Desperate local population, even those who probably supported them, has clearly seen what it really means to live 3 months under terror and orders of so-called self-proclaimed republics. Number of killed and injured has rapidly grown. According to the latest information of Ukrainian National Security and Defense Council, since the beginning of anti-terrorist operation, more than 250 persons have been killed in Donetsk and Lugansk regions. More than 200 soldiers died defending their motherland. Hostage-taking became terrorist regular practice. After sensational kidnapping of OSCE monitors group, as well as dozens of civilians, beaten within an inch of their life and found by Ukrainian army in the barracks of administrative buildings of captured eastern towns. Ukrainian pilot Nadia Savchenko was kidnapped and illegally transferred through the state border to Russian city Voronezh, where she is currently detained in prison under trumped-up case. This story shocked Ukrainian nation and brought to the new level of patriotic feelings. After 10 days of complete isolation, only yesterday, Ukrainian consul received permission from Russian authorities to visit Nadia in prison in order to guarantee protection of her interests in the foreign state where she found herself against her own will. Let me now tell you, showing slides, what makes this aggression against Ukrainian people possible, what feeds terrorists, and why they still have means to resist Ukrainian army, from where they receive aid and support.
Can I please ask you to turn the screen on, please?
This slide shows you some recent examples of Russian-made and owned military equipment captured by Ukrainian armed forces after battles in the zone of anti-terrorist operation. In the upper side, Kamaz and Ural military trucks near Slovyansk town with Russian army's identification on the doors marked by red arrow. In the left side, armored personal carrier with insignia and additional armoring system. This shelling is used exclusively in the Russian Federation. At the bottom, some captured samples of Russian tank who shoot civilians and Ukrainian soldiers in operation zone. This tank is registered at the military unit 205 of the city of Budyonovsk, Russia. Next slide, please. This slide shows you major measures undertaken by the security service of Ukraine in order to shut down channels of separatist and terrorist financing. During operation, the security service blocked 25 accounts of physical and legal persons with over $5 million proved to sponsor terrorists. 21 accounts opened by separatist movement leaders, including self-proclaimed prime minister of so-called Donetsk People's Republic, by the way, a Russian citizen, were detected and arrested. In the course of vetting and entrances to Ukraine, including from Crimea, more than $2 million in cash were seized. Money was intended to be used to finance terrorism in the east of Ukraine. Next slide, please. This slide shows you some latest samples of seized and destroyed military equipment of Russian origin. Top line, Russian unmanned aerial vehicles shot down by Ukrainian army. Middle line, destroyed BM-21 Grad multiple rocket launchers. Bottom line, destroyed tank, airborne assault vehicle, infantry combat vehicle, and armored reconnaissance vehicle. I should admit that every new anti-terrorist operation day gives us more and more evidences that brand new Russian military equipment is regularly furnished to the terrorists. Next slide, please. Ukrainian delegation already voiced our grave concern about massive anti-Ukrainian propaganda and hysteria that currently takes place in all Russian media. We strongly condemned usage of information technologies and manipulation of public opinion. We unveiled many times Russian fake information, but unfortunately Russian citizens, because of intense North Korean-style propaganda, live in parallel non-existing reality. Social media, as you can see, are widely used by Russian provocateurs to recruit youth and volunteers to fight for terrorists. Here are some accounts that called a lot of followers to fight against Kyiv junta, and to free Ukraine from fascists. Next slide. This slide shows you more anti-Ukrainian social network pages that spread intolerance and xenophobia in Russia, particularly against Ukrainians. This slide shows you an extract of interrogation of detained pro-Russian saboteur who confessed security service that he was hired to, I quote, carry out active work in social networks, disseminate information that I received by emails and create groups to select people for subversive activity on the Ukraine. Next slide. Slide demonstrates some aspects of daily security service operations on capturing Russian intelligence officers, saboteurs, and terrorists. Pictures on the top made in May in Odessa. Security service detained 8 saboteurs recruited by Russian GRU, this major intelligence unit of Russian army, at the railway station. Left side, security service detained a terrorist group that planned to derail presidential elections by a range of powerful explosions in crowded places near governmental buildings. Bottom line, pictures made in July in Odessa. Security service captured an intelligence and subversive group that planned sabotage attacks at critical infrastructure facilities and terrorist acts in crowded locations. On the photos, you can see their armament and Russian passports. Next slide. This slide shows some aspects of security service counteraction to Russia-fueled aggression in our country. Security service investigators initiated pre-trial criminal proceedings against 16 Russian citizens involved in Russian special services activities, 72 Ukrainian citizens for alleged crimes against constitutional order, treason and subversion and espionage, 160 Ukrainian citizens recruited by Russia for alleged terrorist crimes, mass riots, weapon smuggling, and its illegal handling. On the left side, you can see a list of seized weapons, all made in Russia. This slide demonstrates faces of those who symbolize terror and martyrs in eastern Ukraine. All leaders of separatists are Russian citizens, and they do not hide it. They are guilty before our nation after bringing violence, bloodshed, and war. They rule over 6,000 militants to achieve some major goals through the Russian strategy called controlled chaos. Two of them, they are not on these pictures, but they are, well, emblematic. Could you imagine the two self-proclaimed republics, Lugansk and Donetsk? They are being led by Russian citizens, Alexander Borodai, Prime Minister of Donetsk Republic, and Igor Strelkov-Girkin, who is the Minister of Defense. Here, Marat Bashurov is the Prime Minister of Lugansk People's Republic. Well, next slide. All activity of criminals you have just seen would not be possible without regular and large-scale engagement of Russia. This slide shows you, uncovered by Secret Service of Ukraine Terrorist Training Center on the Russian territory, where Russian professional officers instruct future and existing saboteurs how to destroy, to kill, and to spread violence. Those who are interested to have these slides, it's easy to get from Yegor. Before finishing, it's probably Yegor will give you additional materials which give you the information of Russian Federation involvement into actions against territorial integrity, peace, and stability in the eastern Ukraine. And please pay attention on the new developments and the new character of the military actions in the eastern part of Ukraine. You will find the information that, for example, yesterday, several amateur videos from Russian side were recorded by Russian civilians, and then they were spread through the YouTube. Russian civilians near town of Gukovo, Rostov region, Russian Federation, they filmed a Russian multiplayer rocket launcher's Grad firing multiplayer rockets towards Ukrainian territory. This last case is the clearest evidence of direct Russian military actions against Ukraine. Yesterday, at 19 o'clock evening, 7 p.m., Ukrainian Air Force aircraft Sukhoi 25 was attacked and shot down by a rocket fired by Russian Air Force aircraft within the Ukrainian airspace. Ukrainian pilot managed to eject himself and survived. Today, we got the information about the so-called green man, or man in green, known from Crimea. Around 300 of them, they appeared on the Ukrainian territory. So this is this information bringing a new qualitatively new situation in the eastern part of Ukraine, and we will make extra analysis how to cope with that here in the United Nations. As you can see, despite all international efforts fueled by strong Ukrainian will to avoid further escalation and reinforced by presidential peace plan, foreign terrorists and their Russian patrons have to have no intention to leave us in peace and lay down arms. We are still struggling against high-capacity military saboteurs who are willing to shred Ukraine and to create gray zones of chaos and instability. And now I'm ready to take some of your questions, please.
Before I will take your questions, I should notice that the speech of ambassador will be uploaded to our website for the interested journalists 1 hour right after the end of the press conference. And yes, you have the floor.
Welcome on behalf of the United Nations Correspondents Association. I am Evelyn Leopold, a board member, and I have a three-part question. First of all, do you think Russia, if it wanted to, has that much control over the rebels, or do they have a life of their own and they would continue regardless of what Russia said? Secondly, what do you think the aim is? It doesn't look like Russia wants to invade. Is it a weakened Ukraine or more influence or what? And third, just I may have not been aware of this. Have all the international monitors been released who were captured in the East?
Thank you. Russia has control over the leaders, at least the leaders, because they are their citizens. The regular financing of the terrorists from Russia Federation, which was documented, gave this evidence that that they have a control. Then the regular supply of the weaponry through the Russian borders. Russia failed to fulfill their obligations reached in Berlin to close the borders from their side, to permit the OSCE observers to come and to to monitor the situation on the borders. So it never happened. The information about the origin of the weaponry, and particularly heavy weaponry, because they have insignia and they have the now the numbers of belonging to a particular military units in Russia Federation, testifies that they should control their regular forces. That's why they are to answer themselves how it could happen that the such a armament is being stolen or left the military units without any kind of the permission. The recent developments I mentioned, and you'll get these details in the paper.
Release, yeah.
So when they started to use the heavy weaponry from their territory, shooting down our aircrafts and then bombing the cities. So these recent developments exactly proves that the control is going on. The goals to keep the situation in tension, to continue to bring the disorder. I mentioned in my introductory that the terrorists, while leaving the towns, villages, they destroy the full infrastructure. So one of the goals to destroy the infrastructure of heavy industrialized regions of Ukraine. Can we stop them? So that's why we are addressing the world community and the world media to be a part of the common efforts to stop them. So what's going on and the intention? So-called controlled chaos. I mentioned this in my introductory. What does it mean, controlled chaos, for them? That is not new invention. So they use that in Georgia. They use it in Transnistria. Creation of puppet states. Flooding the region with illegal weapons, using foreign paid mercenaries to destroy regional infrastructure and harass local population, weakening local economy and blocking state functions like justice, social welfare, etc., forcing of refugee crisis, information warfare. Introduction of scenario tested, as they told in in Georgia, invasion by so-called peacekeeping forces. So this is exactly where we are. That's why the reaction of the United States and the European Union demonstrated yesterday was just because Russia did nothing to fulfill their own obligations within the negotiations reached in Geneva and Berlin.
Matthew.
Matthew Lee, Inner City Press, on behalf of the Free UN Coalition for Access. Thanks for the briefing and the video. We don't usually get this kind of multimedia presentation. I wanted to go in a slightly different direction. I'll get the slides and stuff later, but I wanted to ask, there was an airstrike on an apartment building in eastern Ukraine, reported by Western media, ABC, et cetera, that killed, they say, 11 people, four-story building, and they say it's incontrovertible that it came from the sky. So I wanted to know, I mean, I've heard some that the government of Ukraine may be saying that Russia is bombing areas controlled by pro-Russian sides. Is that, I wanted to know if that's your claim. How would you explain this airstrike? And also, there's one thing I wanted to ask you about from the OSCE monitoring report, where it's the one that's dated July 14th, but it's information up to July 13th. Okay. And it says that the special monitoring mission met with the head and deputy head of the Swoboda Party, which claims to have 200 members in this one region, that they have created their own battalion named Sich, which operates under the Ministry of Internal Affairs and was likely to be deployed in the east in a few weeks. The interlocutor said that some members are already undergoing training in Kyiv. So I know in this room there's been some back and forth about the relationship between Swoboda and the government. This is the OSCE saying it. Are they wrong, or how would you explain it? Thanks.
First, yes, we got the evidence that some of the bombings of the residential quarters in the cities, they were organized by the terrorists, not by Ukrainian air forces, because the day this attack happened, it was the break in all the operation from the Ukrainian side. And so no aviation and artillery were used, and it is being used against the residential areas. And this is the order and the instruction within the army and within the anti-terrorist operation. So this is the order. The information I gave you, and you will get it in the paper, so we got this confirmation that some of the fights were coming and still are coming from the Russian territory, using the heavy artillery. The second question you raised. So I understand that you have the full report of the monitoring commission soon. It seems to me that it should be announced on the 21st of July. It means next week. You'll get big information as to the participation of different groupings and battalions. During the previous or earlier briefings, I told you that the previous regime destroyed the army and the police totally. What we are doing, we are reconstructing army itself, and we are forced to use the people's initiative, but not in a non-organized manner, but in organized manner. So we have several battalions of the kind were formed in Dnepropetrovsk, in Zaporozhye, in Lviv, in Kyiv. They are being created on the base of the people who had some kind of experience serving in the army or the police. So they are being selected and trained to participate in that anti-terrorist operation as a part of the Ministry of Interior or Ministry of Defense. I never heard about this initiative from Svoboda. So again, it could be some kind of initiative of the kind, but they can't perform voluntarily because it will bring a disorder. But most probably, I'll be ready to answer more in detail when I get more information.
Yes, please.
Mr. Ambassador, Renzo Cianfanelli of the Italian group RCS Corriere della Sera. I have two interconnected questions. Given the rather opaque way the sanctions are applied by the European Union, how effective they are, and are you satisfied with the kind of support you get from the UN, or should the UN do more?
Thank you. Me personally, I don't overestimate, I don't underestimate the role and the capacity of United Nations. What we got the full support of the world community, political and moral support. This support was clearly was demonstrated during the voting of the Ukrainian resolution on territorial integrity of Ukraine. So we got this support in the Security Council when Russia appeared in isolation. But this support of the membership in the United Nations had reflected in the support of their governments. And it created a coalition. It harmonized approaches in the European Union. European Union, you know, was not, still is not united on different issues. But this solidarity united European Union, for example, yesterday when they agreed on additional sanctions. So this is what we got from the United Nations, and I appreciate this role of United Nations. The Security Council needs to be reformed because we are always in the dead end if it comes to the practical solutions, how to stop the violence or atrocities. Syria and Ukraine, two latest examples where veto were introduced. So that's why the limited possibilities brings us to finding the more practical solutions. That's why practical solutions from this side, from United Nations side, the decision to send a monitoring group to monitor the human rights situation in Crimea and generally in Ukraine. And it did it work. Did it work? It, bringing the... bringing the awareness to the globe on the different deteriorations of the human rights situation, and in bringing the recommendations to the government. This new report will bring the same, the recommendations to the government. We'll find some elements or recommendations as to the new constitution debated in our society. This is what really is important.
Sanctions.
So this is a reaction, this is some kind of gesture of the sympathy and solidarity. It's not my position to judge either it is enough or not enough. That is what we got. We got united community who are now produced the new wage of sanctions, which could be most probably more efficient. At least what Russian officials started to comment today, so these sanctions could be painful for the economy and for some people. And again, this is not to punish them, but to invite to fulfill what they what we decided to fulfill in Geneva and in Berlin. I'm not speaking about the obligations before the United Nations Charter, international law. So it is, again, it's again for them, it's not the threat, it's not threatening, but it is, again, invitation, giving Russia a chance to perform as... as the world partner, and not to, and not to move itself to the to more complicated position.
Al Jazeera.
Yes, I'm sorry if I missed something, but I believe you said that the plane that was shot down last night was the clearest evidence of Russia's direct involvement in the conflict. Can you elaborate on how you know it was Russia that was involved? The Ambassador Churkin this morning denied that.
Well. My colleague, Russian colleague, denied whatever is against them. It's a normal reaction. But we got this information from today's meeting in the Ukrainian Security Council. the Defense and Security Council. It was a statement. and the information they got from different sources, including satellites and so on. So my reference is Ukrainian Council on Defense and Security.
But they have some sort of they have markings as to where the rockets were fired from? And
yeah, they got this detailed information from their experts, and so that's why they brought it to the public. If we have the details like we demonstrated today, so naturally we'll be immediately briefed.
Next question.
Yes, please.
Thank you. Gouka Mushita from NHK, the Japanese Public TV. Mr. Ambassador, do you think if the situation remains like that, if the violence continue in this pace, do you think at a certain stage you will try to table another type of resolution or any concrete step in the UN?
I don't know if I am ready to answer exact now what the next step could be. At least I shared with you the new developments which happened yesterday, which are changing the situation and the type of the conflict there, because what we had yesterday, the artillery attack from the Russian territory, attack of our airplane. So this is direct involvement of Russia Federation. It needs expert analysis what to do, because what I told just in my introductory, we have a lot of evidence telling about the acts of aggression. This is a different situation than only the terrorist conflict with the terrorists in the eastern part of Ukraine. So we are in consultations, and we are involved in a deeper analysis how to treat this estimation. Well,
it seems to me you wanted to ask a question. Just a second.
Hi, my name is Matthew. I'm with Yomiuri Shimbun, a Japanese newspaper. Do you think the heightening of the crisis can be attributable to President Poroshenko signing the association agreement with EU?
Well, it could be helpful for sure, because, first of all, the association agreement should give a clear answer to the people in Ukraine. What is our destiny? What are our perspectives? what kind of the society we are going to build? So the association agreement gives all these answers. That staying in Ukraine, supporting the integrated Ukraine, united Ukraine, being a part of the European community, they have a chance to live in a democratic society with the not corrupted economy. It could be helpful. We need this unity of the people, first of all, and it is directed just to them. as well as the association agreement foresees the different kind of assistance. So we'll need this assistance to reconstruct the destroyed economy in the eastern part of Ukraine. So this is also a very important message to the people living there, and some of them are still hesitating if... What steps they should do. Well, thank you.
Matthew, you have another question?
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I wanted to ask you about the sanctions and also something about the IMF. Just on the sanctions that the U.S. announced yesterday, as well as Russian companies, I wanted to know what you think the impact will be. They put the People's Republic of Luhansk or Lugansk and also Donetsk People's Republic. They named these as sanctioned entities. What impact? Does that mean they can't travel outside of the country? Or what impact do you think that will have? And also I noticed that the Deputy Prime Minister of Ukraine said that the $17 billion IMF package is not enough and more will be sought. How much more will be sought, and what can you say about the status of? I know that the IMF didn't give all the money at one time. What are the conditions?
Sanctions. If you look at the list of people who were appeared under the first wave of sanctions, the second, it was a message to those who could influence on the politics, who could influence on the support of all this disorder. So it was addressed to them. They neglected that. So the sanctions, again, addressed to them, but in the sectoral spheres for them to understand physically what does it mean for themselves. So they could step back and not to support this kind of the politics, or at least to sit in the Kremlin and to discuss where we are going, where we are bringing us to disaster, because it will bring to the financial problems in Russia for sure. So it's to them to take the right political decisions in that time. As to those who are in Lugansk and Donetsk, Russian citizens who are the prime ministers of Lugansk, the prime minister of Donetsk republics, according to the criminal code of Russia Federation, they are criminals, because the code does not permit the Russian citizens to participate in illegal armed formations inside the country and outside the country. But the code also says that if it does not correspond the interests of Russia. So if they're performing, if they are not under the criminal investigation, so they are performing in the interest of Russia Federation, producing the crime. That's why this Monday, I sent my letter to the Secretary General. I pointed out this fact, asking the experts, international experts, to examine the criminal court of Russia Federation and behavior of Russians in all these criminal formations outside the country. So these guys are criminals according to the criminal law of Russian Federation. Look, there is an article in that in the court. Well.
Yes, just quickly, to follow up an earlier question, what is the relationship of Svoboda to the government in Kiev and in the East?
No Svoboda member is in the government. This is the answer. Svoboda is a political party who have their presence in the parliament. Svoboda was an active participant with other political groupings in Maidan, in the revolution in December, January, so on. So this is a part of the joint political movement, but they are different. Different political parties, they present different thinkings, different spheres of the society. Svoboda is not in the government.
Okay.
Their units can be trained.
Sorry?
This OSCE report says that their unit is operating under the Ministry of Interior.
No. I should learn what they're speaking about, what kind of units. None of the party has their military or paramilitary units, no. Any party could address the people and to support the army and to support the police, as I understand. Let me learn.
Mm-hmm. Baltic Press.
Yes. Besides holding a press briefing like this one, which provides the facts to us, what else can be done to counteract the disinformation and the deliberate spread of false information?
Well, the role of media, democratic media, yourself present here, is crucial because those who are working in Russia media, they're also different. The Most probably you noticed that a few days ago, main Russian channels, they spread information about the killing of a tortured boy. But it was a Russian journalist from
Nezavisimaya Gazeta,
who went to that city and who interviewed several dozens of the people and discovered that it was a fake. So that's why we have journalists and we have journalists. And the real journalists, they could address those who are producing falsification in the Russian media, who are spreading the false information through the social nets. This is a new weaponry. Social nets could be used as in positive way or in negative way. What we are experiencing now in Ukraine, how Russia Federation is using social nets for supporting terrorism, for feeding them with new mercenaries. Well, this kind of a role media could play. Thank you for this question.
Okay, so I don't see any more questions. I thank you all for attending our press conference. And those who want to obtain a copy of our press release, please be welcome. Thank you very much.